I'm Kelly B., the executive editor of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. Ah, spring, when a young man's fancy turns to thoughts of stargazing, of course, and that's equally true for young women. During most of April, the sun sets between 7:30 and 8, and by 9 p.m. it's good and dark. For most of the U.S., April evenings are finally warm enough to linger outdoors comfortably for quite a while. And that's a good thing, because you'll want to stay out for at least 15 to 30 minutes to give your eyes a chance to adapt to the darkness. So while your eyes are getting adjusted, let's check out the major landmarks, sky marks, that you'll see overhead. For the first few days of April, moonlight will flood the early evening sky. Full moon falls on the 2nd this month, rising in the east just as the sun sets in the west. Each night afterward, moonrise comes about an hour later, so by the 5th or 6th you'll be able to enjoy the evening stars and planets without the moon's interference. If you look in the general direction of sunset, you can't miss the planet Venus, blazing aloft in western twilight like nothing else in the sky. For many weeks now, Venus has been getting higher in the west after sunset, and this month Venus has some interesting encounters. It passes close to the delicate little Pleiades star cluster on the 10th, 11th, and 12th. On these nights, you'll find the cluster just to Venus's right by the width of a finger on your outstretched arm. After that, the cluster will gradually drift away to the lower right, making its departure from the evening sky until next autumn. Watch on the 19th for a thin crescent moon that sandwiches itself between Venus and the Pleiades. Saturn is the other planet gracing April evening skies. Look for it shining very high up toward the south after it gets dark. It turns out that Saturn is only half as bright now as it was back in January, when it and Earth were about 50 million miles closer together in space. In any case, this planet and its beautiful rings are always a treat in a telescope. To Saturn's left is a star pattern called the sickle, because it looks like the hand tool with a curved blade used for harvesting crops. Or maybe you'll see it more easily if you look for a question mark facing the wrong way. It's about the size of your clenched fist held at arm's length. Regulus, at the bottom of the sickle's handle, is the brightest star in the constellation of Leo. The stars of the sickle trace out the lion's head, Regulus marks its heart, and its body extends off to the left. To the immediate right of Saturn is Cancer, the crab. This constellation isn't very big, and it doesn't have any bright stars. But here is where you'll find a nifty star cluster called the Beehive. Just like the Pleiades, you can see the Beehive with just your eyes, but you'll need a fairly dark sky that's free of light pollution. Look to Saturn's right by the width of a fist at arm's length. In a dark sky, the cluster looks like a soft glow, but binoculars will reveal dozens of individual stars. Okay, right now you're facing south, more or less, so turn around to face north, more or less, and look high up. You'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper, positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving down toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, the Dipper is upside down as if dumping April showers. But hold on a sec, how can it be dumping showers if the sky is clear? Anyway, the two stars at the left end of the Dipper's bowl are known as the pointer stars, because an imaginary line down through them points almost directly at Polaris, the North Star. It's below the pointers by the width of three fists. Polaris marks the handle end of the notoriously dim Little Dipper, which on spring evenings extends to Polaris's right. Now if you follow the pointers up instead of down, you'll soon run into the star Regulus. The Big Dipper isn't a true constellation. It's what astronomers call an asterism, an obvious group of stars. The sickle is an asterism too. But the Big Dipper is part of a constellation, Ursa Major, which is Latin for the Big Bear. And the Little Dipper is in Ursa Minor, which means, you guessed it, the Little Bear. Now, if you think about it, bears come out of hibernation in spring. So the Big Bear is now on the prowl high in the northeast. Equally high to its right is Leo, the lion. Okay, lions don't hibernate, but we're talking mythology here. And slithering up equally high in the southeast is long, winding Hydra, the sea serpent, a completely mythological creature. Hydra was quite carnivorous in Homer's Odyssey, and you can think of it as a hibernator if you want. Hydra's stars are all pretty dim. Well below Saturn and Regulus is Alpart, which forms the serpent's fiery orange heart. Its head is farther right, over in the southwest, and its long tail has yet to clear the southeastern horizon. Spring is coming, and all of these sky critters are on the march. Now, I know a lot of you love looking at the night sky, but frankly find yourself a little lost among the stars. Well, April 21st is Astronomy Day, a worldwide stargazing celebration. And there's a good chance that an astronomy club near you will be holding special events and star parties to help you get better acquainted with the night sky. To find a club near you, go to skytonight.com and look on the left for the link to clubs. Next month, I'll explain why the Big Dipper is the Swiss Army knife of the sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.